Well, Merry Christmas.
And thank you for to all of our choir, everyone who sang, played tonight, our orchestra. Thank you for taking the time not only to share with us the message of how Jesus came in, but the wonder of it. And that's, I think, what we really are able to catch at this time of lessons and carols. And that was spectacular, what you just did. So thank you for sharing that with us. And it is very good to be with you as well. Just great for us to gather together to wonder at what God has done on that first Christmas day as we consider his birth and what it means to us. And that's what I want to talk just briefly with you about this evening and share a message out of the book of 1 John chapter 1. And I think we have this on a screen, though if you have a Bible with you, you can follow along with that. But we've heard the message, right, of Jesus's the announcement, the prophecies he was going to come, the announcements he was here, the visiting of him, his conception, his birth, and the wonder of it. But what does it mean? How do we apply it? And that is really the work of the church that we do throughout week to week, year to year, of making Christ known and applying it. And I think 1 John 1:1 through 4 gives a picture of this and how we apply it. So let me read it, and then we'll comment a little bit on it. We read this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. One of the characteristics of our modern age is the belief that we can create our own future through our own faith. If just we believe rightly and we work hard enough, that we can create success and we can create our future for ourselves. And we can see it through one of the popular words of our day. This year, the Cambridge Dictionary, for its 2024 word, chose the word manifest. Cambridge Dictionary chose the word manifest. So we might ask why, and why this year? The word manifest has roots from the 1300s, and it shows a meaning originally of to make something obvious. But recently, the word has taken on a more spiritual connotation as people use the word to describe dreaming something into existence, or how they will something into existence by the force of their belief. Many people believe this is a secret to success. The Cambridge Dictionary noted that over 130,000 people searched for the term over the year. One of the reasons why they picked it as the word of the year. Recently, a famous pop star has spoken about manifesting her dreams into existence and the millions she's made from that. A gold medal athlete at the Olympics this summer spoke about manifesting her success in the Olympics. And so while optimism and faith and hope are important, and they are necessary and powerful tools for success, is we also realize that we cannot escape our limitations. Who of us does not know of disappointments, of broken promises, of the ways that others have failed us, or we have failed ourselves? Which of us does not know of our own sins? And this is where the Christmas story comes in. In our text from 1 John chapter 1, we see the account of the story of what God manifested. We see that in 1 John 1. The Christmas story is all about what God manifested, not about what we manifest. And so we read about this manifestation from God. We read about Jesus' life in this world, and it's so rich in meaning if we see it, understand it, and apply it. And it is one that is full of grace and not of works to constantly spin ourselves up into trying to get some elusive success, but it's one that's given to us of grace. So let's look at this verse briefly. I think it's on the screen. Yes. So remember, this is a historical account of someone who spent time with Jesus. The Apostle John writes this. He spent time with Jesus as an adult, but we're going to see how it fits back into his birth. And so how does the Apostle John describe his eyewitness experience of Jesus? The first thing he says is that which was from the beginning. Right here, he's identifying Jesus as the eternal Son of God. That Jesus, that the Son of God has always existed. And so he's talking about God here. He's talking about the Son of God in his spiritual nature. He was always God. And one thing we know about God is that God does not have a body. But that's what changes Christmas. And the Son of God came in the body of a baby. And that's where John goes on to describe his interactions with Jesus. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and touched with our hands. And so we see him going through his senses, hearing, seeing, touching. We assume that he also smelled him. Don't know that he tasted him, but we know those four. And we see something happening, that the spiritual took on a physical form. That people were able to hear Jesus speak audibly. They were able to touch him. They even ate with him. If you were there on that Christmas day, you would have heard the Son of God as a baby cry. He would have been held and he would have been nursed. And so you can see how John then goes in to describe this. He says, all this is concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. The message of the Bible is that God was manifest in a way so we could hear, see, and touch. God can do something that we cannot do, no matter all of our positive thinking. All of our optimism is that God can create something out of nothing. And he brought into existence all of creation simply by his word, just what he said. And what we see, what we remember at Christmas, is he provided for his son a human body. And he does that for you and for me in the manifestation of his son. I mean, the world tells us that we need to manifest the life that we want. We need to dream it into existence. Manifest your dreams. Manifest your own success. Believe hard enough. Work hard enough. And then you'll have a good life. But when God, the only one who could create physical things out of nothing, manifested something, he manifested a body of his own son. He manifested eternal life. That means that Jesus brings you back to the very thing that you were created for. Jesus brings you back into a relationship with God, to know God and to serve God. He came to bring us back to the very purpose we were created for. And to have that kind of life, we need to have our sins taken away. And in Jesus coming, he came on a rescue mission that at the end of his life and his death on the cross, he would take sins away. The sins away of everyone who would believe in him. That's how we have life. Because life is described as knowing God. It's life is being in fellowship with your creator, the one who made you, the one who wants to know you, the one who wants to walk in fellowship with you. That is eternal life. And we can see the way he describes it if we look at verses 3 and 4. What the remaining verses say, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus. And we're writing these things to you, or we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. What did Jesus come to do? We see it described in here. He came to restore our fellowship with our Father and then also with all of God's people, which we call the church. You don't need to be separated from God in sin anymore. You don't have to be separated from that purpose he created you for, that he has created you to have a personal relationship, and he can restore that through faith in Jesus. And so as you come here, you may be visiting. You may have been invited by somebody. You may think, you know, it's Christmas. I want to celebrate the meaning. But maybe it's something that hasn't become a personal relationship for you. And you might have questions about that. How does all this work? How did it all happen? One thing we've been mentioning over the course of this Christmas holiday is a class we have coming up called Christianity Explored. It is mentioned on the back of your program. It tells you when it starts, how you can connect with it. Because maybe you have questions about the ABCs of the Christian faith. You say, well, what does the Bible even tell us about Jesus? I don't know anything. Or maybe you say, I have some questions. You know, what does this mean? Or I don't like this and this, but I want someone to talk to about the questions I have. Or to say, you know what, there's a point in my life where I need to make a commitment and I need to wrestle with that. This is the class that is for you. So we want to invite you to come be a part of it, because God manifests among us as we celebrate every Christmas, most significant event in all history. And as he says there in verse 4, this is how our joy is made full. That's what we're looking for at Christmas, isn't it? The world tells us we can manifest our own dreams. If you can just work hard enough, well, then you'll be happy enough. And what God has said, he has already manifested all that we need for joy if just we would receive it as the gift that he has offered to us. The whole Christmas message is our joy is made full as we receive and we trust and we rest in and we follow Jesus. And so our call at Christmas, this Christmas, is to believe in the one who's been manifested to us. Do you believe in him? Do you know that life? Would you celebrate what has been manifested among us in this world on this Christmas holiday? Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you that as you sent Jesus into the world, that your Son, the Son of God, became a man. And in becoming a man, he provided a way to be restored and reconciled to you. That is hope. And God, because we know as we believe and we trust in him, your Bible tells us as we trust in him and follow him, we may have our joy made full as we are restored to you and as we walk in newness of life. God, you promised to make things new. Thank you that you've done that in Jesus. And thank you for the life that he's provided, that he would humble himself by coming into this world as a little baby, in order to redeem us from our sin. We thank you for this gift. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if our ushers, or if they would come forward, we remember this verse that was read at the beginning, that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Jesus was manifest among us, that there may be light in dark places. And so let's stand together. We'll sing Silent Night together. And we will remember as these candles are lit that light has been manifest among us. Thank you. Father, may Jesus Christ, not who has been born in this world, be also born into our hearts. A silent night, Father, where the Son of God was manifest among us. Father, lowering himself to be born in a stable, lowering himself that we would be born again. God coming into darkness and to meet us where we are, to meet us in the darkness that we face in this world, the suffering we endure of loss, of tragedy, of sickness, of disappointment. And Father, I'm sure that in this room there are those who have faced many of those over this year. All of us face it in so many ways, in different ways. May Christ, the light of the world, meet us in those places. In the silence of that stable, Father, in the silence and prayer before you, to know that you are God and you've loved us in sending your own Son into this world. Father, help us find hope and joy and faith and peace in that Savior who has come, even as we just are silent before you, thanking you for your goodness, for your love and kindness. We pray this all in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.